You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget. Mine is Bridget. Jill sitting in for her today right here on Moody Radio 89.3.
Tom DeRosa, certainly no stranger to Moody Radio South Florida, the director of Creation Studies Institute. Tom, it is really good to have you in this morning.
Oh, it's great to be here again. Thank you.
Let me just say very quickly here that we had an eclipse, I guess, Monday, and I'd already forgotten what day it was. I mean, that's how quickly the world kind of moves, right? That was like the biggest event in the world, and I'm like, what day was that?
Yeah.
Our minds are prone to wander and quickly forget things like that, aren't they?
Monday.
It was Monday. All right, behind the curtain a little bit, Jill was like, it's just an eclipse. She could have cared less, right, Jill?
Oh, no. No, not at all. What?
Tom, tell us why this eclipse was so impressive.
Oh, it was 100 miles wide, and that's impressive. Also, totality was wonderful. I mean, you had a chance to, and by the way, it crisscrossed the United States. Now, 2017, somebody from this radio station called me up. I don't know if it was you, Eric. 2017. That was the last one. I mean, one before that.
Yeah.
And I kind of told them, it was a little closer, I believe, than this one. Mm-hmm. This one was kind of far away from us here in South Florida, but it took a good part of the population of the United States. It catty-cornered. It went from Mexico all the way to Maine and made that beautiful diagonal. Although it was in a perfect line because, you know, there's a rotation that causes an elliptical orbit, so you get that kind of little arc to it. But it was kind of diagonal, so it was kind of neat to see.
Isn't it funny how these accidents happen? All these people saw this accident of an eclipse.
Oh, I was just going crazy. I love the eclipse. I love the eclipse. It's just a marvel to see, and it's really a marvel of design. I mean, when you think about it.
Absolutely no accident.
Right? No accident. And I'm hearing people, look at what nature has produced. Right. And there's the lights are out there in totality. And they're saying, look what nature has done. And my blood is boiling. You know what I'm saying? It's God. He made this. He made the moon. He made the sun. And he made the earth. And he's given us these wonderful, wonderful decorations that he is God. And so when I see that, I mean, think about every eclipse is different. And I had a chance to see that on Monday from one place to another place. That's got like God giving his signature, letting us see that, look, I'm going to show you something. And this is going to knock your socks off. Okay, because if you're in totality, I mean, literally, the lights go out.
Yeah.
But it's not the lights completely going out. You get a little twilight because the corona is right around there. Mm-hmm. And you see the sun's corona and there's a little light in. It's kind of weird. So I kind of, you know, this time I really felt I should be there. I should be there. So I kind of watched NASA and I was watching all the data and the sharing with everybody. But I was excited about it. But that's a God thing.
Such a God thing because there's so much precision that goes into what our God has done, especially, you know, eclipses don't happen very often. You said 2017.
Right.
And then the next major eclipse 20 years from now.
Yeah. But this, you know, eclipse happens every year. Depending on the solar eclipse, they just line up. But when they cast a shadow and you could see that shadow, that's really what you get. That's the marvel of the eclipse. Now, what I found interesting, Jill, is that an eclipse is like, when I said, you know, it's like design, this is how it goes. It's got the sun and the moon would have to be the right size. You follow? So the moon is a certain size. It has to be 400 times the size of the sun. You follow? So the moon has to be 400 times the sun. And then the distance from the earth to the moon, it has to be 400 times that distance. That's how they cancel out.
Right.
It's 400 times, 400 times. Now, think about that for a second. How does that happen? How do you get 400 times and 400 times? I mean, they perfectly have to cancel out. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. So that is not, I heard an astronomer saying, you know, this is kind of a phenomena. You know, we can only witness this in the solar system and, you know, throughout many, I mean, I believe this is a God thing. This is 400 times, 400 times, it cancels themselves out. You could just, it's just like it goes right over it perfectly. And then you see the corona a little outside.
Well, and, you know, we read the first couple chapters of Genesis and we see that it was all planned out. This wasn't an accident, and the times and the seasons and the fact that we can point to the next one, right, to the minute the next one will right happen. It's all part of God's plan, and it goes back to where what we read in Genesis.
But the creation of the moon is a unbelievable phenomenon. Well, what do you mean? Well, you look at the moon and you look at the Earth. The moon is about 27% the size. It's a big moon.
Yes,
it's big. You can see it at night, and sometimes it overwhelms you.
Right.
Well, guess what this does? The moon actually stables the Earth. I mean, we tilt on our axis about 23.5 degrees and go 22 or 24. It kind of wobbles a little bit. But here's the thing. When you have the big sun the way it is, mm-hmm, and I say big sun because it's 27% of the Earth, about, you know, so you, from the size of the Earth. So you've got this sun, and this sun's gravitational pull kind of keeps us where we belong. Because if we don't keep that 23.5 degrees, we don't have seasons. We don't have seasons. We don't have the water valve to water the Earth. Without the water valve watering the Earth, you wind up with deserts. You wind up, it's responsible for life. Mm. So when you look at the moon is stabilizing the Earth. This is not a mistake. It's design. It's design.
It's crazy. It just to think about the design, your mind almost can't grasp it. And that's part of the problem. The mind has a hard time grasping it. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in a life, it's just like, I've got to come up with an explanation of this that takes God out of it. And that's what we see happening, isn't it?
And unfortunately, you know, I was listening to newscasters. They've been driven this way. They've been brainwashed. They've been told that it's nature, it's nature, it's nature. And when you look at the phenomena, this is not a simple thing. It's not, how do you make this alignment and how do you get it so perfectly? And what's interesting is that we can study the sun because we can see the corona, and the corona gives us so much information about the sun. Mm. And then we learn that, wow, you know, 93 million miles away the sun is, and it's contributes to life here on Earth. It's in the right spectrum. The light is in the right spectrum so we can have photosynthesis. I could go on and on. It's like, it's a design.
Right.
It's perfectly designed so we can have life.
If we could transition just a moment here, you have a fossil float that's happening.
Right.
Okay, so we looked up at the sky and saw, well, if we had our glasses on, we could see that, right?
Right.
Across a grand scope of the country. If we look down into the ground, can we see God there also as you start digging around for fossils?
Certainly. Actually, fossils tell us another little story. I see the grandeur in space. I see God's judgment when I pick up a fossil. What do I mean by that? A fossil represents death and represents, in this case, a lot of the fossils we find are buried quickly. I mean, this is like a catastrophic event. Many people say that fossils are weird because you have to have the right conditions. Dead things. Think about fish. We find lots of fish fossils. Now, fish, when they die, they float after a while, right? They float up and they float. Okay, how do they fossilize? This has to be conditioned. So we look at these fossils and we say flood, catastrophe. We look at the Ice Age as an after effect, and that's what we find in the Peace River when we do fossil hunting every year. And it comes at this time of year. This year is April 26th to 28th. And we actually go down the Peace River in Florida, and we dig up these fossils. And this is another kind of catastrophe that we find. We find that literally there was a lot of flooding taking place because right after the flood, we had the Ice Age, and the Ice Age provided we had glaciers moving back and forth up north, but down here in Florida, particularly in central Florida, by the way, in South Florida right now where we're sitting, it'd be underwater. it took the Ice Age to pop up the South Florida. Mm. So we're digging up these fossils, and we're giving God the glory, and we tell people about the history and how it's related to Noah's flood so they get a biblical perspective. I just don't want people to pick up fossils and say, oh, okay, they're millions of years. No, we're not concerned about the age. We're more concerned about how they got there, what happened, and so on. And we look at the Earth as being relatively young. So that kind of takes A lot of people in the fossil community, evolutionary community, talk about millions of years. Find a fossil that's millions of years old. That is rare. So, but we talk in terms of this is what the Bible has said, and this is where we're finding the fossils.
We're talking with Tom DeRosa of Creation Studies Institute, and I just love your perspective because I've got to say I grew up in a Christian home with a creation mindset, but didn't really understand that we had fossils and that we had just example after example after example that prove when God said the earth was covered by a flood, there's evidence of that. Really is evidence for our faith in creation, isn't there?
Yes. You know, Apostle Paul says that his mission was to make people mature in their faith. And that's what I feel we have to do. I mean, the idea of understanding Jesus as our Savior, that to me is so essential. But along with that is discipleship, where you become closer and closer to God. We have to go through a process of sanctification always. And so in this process, we have to be reminded all the time that there's a God above us. He wants to share it with us. That's why we're created in his image, Jill. It's the most amazing thing that we can have a relationship with God and be able to see his creation because we're created in his image. The animals can't appreciate that, but we certainly can. Mm.
Amen. Well, Tom, you have a lot going on. Are you still doing summer camps during this year?
We had to relax. We're trying to find a replacement for Indiana Jane, Mrs. Joanne Riboli. She's retiring. She's just done a wonderful job all these years working closely with us. We're going to miss her, but we need to find somebody. So we're kind of putting it on halt if we get that right person.
Can we still visit the museum? Let's ask that question.
We still have the museum operating. Everything is doing well. We have programs. We even have field trips going on during the summer. So we're not closed. It's just that the summer camp is just going to be suspended 1 year.
All right. So if you want more information, head to our website. There's still a little bit of room left for that fossil float if you're curious, but it's filling up quickly from what Tom
told
us.
That's right. That's correct.
So if you want to find out about that or some of the other things they have, including the museum, you can go to our website and find out more about the Creation Studies Institute. Tom, thank you for coming in this morning.
Oh, I'd love to be here. Thank you.
It's so great to have you in and to hear your excitement, how science points to not just a creator, but to our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. And even the placement of the sun shows how much he loves us, right?
Amen. Amen. You cannot miss it. God is here.